Chinese proverb. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. As I eased my canoe over the glassy surface of the water, I looked down to see swirling schools of fish heading in all directions. Just behind me was one of the many small villages that lined the edges of the great Okefenokee Swamp. And ahead of me, as far as I could see, were stands of giant cypress trees surrounded by a never-ending view of lily pads. The whole scene turned my thoughts to the relationship between people and our environment. My enjoyment of the natural wonderland I called home was tinged with concern in the knowledge that everything I was experiencing, from the air I was breathing to the level of the never-ending swamp beneath me, might be radically different in just a few decades. By now, it requires no great scientific insight to understand that resources such as clean air and water, once viewed as virtually unlimited, are in increasingly short supply. We are burning irreplaceable fossil fuels as a basis of our economy, and the carbon released from this burning is now indisputably warming our planet. We are using powerful chemicals to grow and preserve our food, and those chemicals remain in the soil and in our bodies for long periods of time. But I still feel there is real reason to be optimistic. People by the millions are searching for ways to live more lightly on the planet, to reduce wastefulness and overconsumption, and to leave the place in good shape for our children, grandchildren, and beyond. In small but important ways, they are trying to live their lives differently. And one question I hear more and more often is, what can I do? The people I meet in health food stores, at health and nutrition conferences, at the gym, or even on airplanes, want to live healthier, last longer, and make a difference in their lives. They care about the health of their families and their planet, and they typically have very good intentions. Most want to live as lightly on the planet as is practical. They just want to know what they can do. Way back as a teen, I discovered the connection between health and nutrition. So one thing I first did was drop most sugar from my diet and felt the difference for myself. I soon discovered a natural grocery store and started eating organic foods whenever possible. Within weeks, my diet of natural meats, organic foods and grains, and unprocessed whole foods dramatically improved my energy and digestive health. Not only was this the food that I found to be far healthier, but it tasted better also. Eating organic is really pretty easy to embrace. Those were my first steps on a very long road. Like many people who start down this path, my initial interest in sustainability was sparked by a desire to improve my own health. I had literally changed my life. Once I began feeling better, it dawned on me that the ripple effect of a healthy lifestyle is far-reaching. Onto the fields of organic farms and into the atmosphere we all breathe. I wanted to do more and to think bigger. I had good intentions. This audio presentation is actually part of me acting on those good intentions. This consciousness of cause and effect between our lifestyles, even our diets, and the planet's health is the driving force behind the sustainability movement. Sustainability is a value at the core of a new way of life. It is a value that city dwellers and suburbanites alike share with the small organic farmers which grow their food. It is a value that we can make life better for all of us and for the, I'll call it the aquarium or the island planet on which we all live. So what is Living Green and how can you get started? In sustainable living, we are looking for a way to live lightly on our planet and pass it on intact, or even better, pass it on better than we found it, for our children and grandchildren and their children and their grandchildren. But why is this important? Because we simply cannot continue doing what we are doing. Most people aren't aware that each day we lose 50 to 100 species of plants and animals as they're driven to extinction basically by human influences. A little bit more food for thought. Each week, Americans represent only 5% of the world's population, comprise 25% of the world's consumption of resources. Much of this consumption ends up literally discarded as needless waste in our landfills or incinerated out into the air, with devastating long-term health and environmental consequences. From the latest information I can find, and it's not brand new, in a single year, we send 500 million tons of solid hazardous waste to landfills. We pump over 3 million tons now, tons of toxic chemicals into the air and water. Each individual person living in our country puts an average of more than 24 tons of carbon, the major greenhouse gas, incidentally, into the atmosphere each year just from the activities of our modern lifestyle. Folks, the human cost is high, even now with diet and pollution-related ailments on the rise. The long-term stakes are even higher as we use up irreplaceable natural resources while making the planet less hospitable to life. Something has got to give. Sustainable development has been succinctly defined by the World Commission on Environment and Development as the ability of humanity to ensure that it meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. This is not a new idea. Native Americans believed they were stewards of the earth. Ownership of land was a foreign concept to them. The Iroquois Confederacy, a semi-democratic form of government that lasted 700 years or so, held as one of its guiding principles in our every deliberation, we must consider the impact of our decisions on the next seven generations. Folks, that was about eight generations ago. Sustainability as a defining value for a new way of life helps to shape our consciousness for the 21st century. But the basic premise has in its roots the mid-19th century transcendental movement of one of my favorites, Henry David Thoreau, and, of course, Ralph Waldo Emerson. Thoreau and Emerson's cautions to revere nature and that to challenge the natural order would eventually imperil mankind. This was carried forward into the 20th century by such giants of the environmental movement as John Muir, Aldo Leopold, and many others. Yet these founders of modern-day environmentalism took their inspiration, at least in part, from the spiritually-based earth consciousness of indigenous peoples, not just here but throughout the world, who saw themselves and their natural environment as partners in survival, not as enemies in a war for dominance. Reaching back seven generations or more into our past, we can easily find the logical next step in our collective consciousness, the knowledge that small individual actions taken now can make large long-term differences in our health, the health of our families, our communities, and of course, our planet. And yes, in some ways, we are beginning to make a difference. Sustainability is a journey, and as the, quote, eighth generation, we are just taking our very first steps. We won't see true sustainability in our lifetimes, and our children are unlikely to find full sustainability either, but it's coming. Yet for every single plastic bottle of water you refuse to buy, for every chemical you choose not to spray on your lawns or your gardens, and for every organic apple or chicken, or for every energy-saving appliance we buy, we are creating a small bit of that change. One of the things I lean on that I get criticized for is my idea of buying a hybrid car isn't a perfect choice. I do understand that. But it may be the best choice right now we have. By starting with practical actions, we're bringing a new consciousness to our way of living. This revolution is spreading pretty quickly. It's getting bigger. The sustainability revolution is an entirely new paradigm for a lot of people. And unlike any revolution in history before it, it stands a great chance of helping to make things better. I realize my introduction here is getting a little lengthy, but I want you to get a feel for what I'm going to do in the next several weeks on my show, and it'll also be on my podcast and everything, trying to get in. I want you to get started, each and every one of us, to the little things we can all do. After this introduction, I'll begin with the next part of my show, and I'm going to get started with what I call the top 10 things. They're very simple. I'm going to go through each one, just a paragraph of each, that we can all literally start doing tomorrow that can help. These are just going to be really, really easy steps to take. A little bit of change of eating habits, a little bit of a change of how we get about, a little bit more conscientious about recycling. Think again before you buy things that are disposable. Of course, even personal care products are much more invasive on your body than most of us have ever been told. So think about coming along with me each week as you listen to my show, either on one of the radio stations I'm on or through my podcast or my own personal website, that can just move you along slowly into a different kind of living that's healthier for you, healthier for the planet, and certainly healthier for your children in the future. I started this with this. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. I invite you to join with millions, and there are millions now, who are part of this sustainability revolution and take that first simple step with me. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic Matters.